And then one of my colleagues from Treasury will introduce all of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, colleagues, members. I'm TV Pillay from the National Treasury, Office of the Accountant General, Chief Director in the unit dealing with Ministry of Finance. And with me is the Accountant General, Michael Seth. And I think one or two of the other parliamentary colleagues will join us from time to time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Auditor General. Take that too. Thank you. First slide, this is our reputation from Mr. Office. Our role as a Chapter 9 institution is to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through our audits, thereby building public confidence. Moving on, this slide technically depicts a different type of opinions that we raise when we conclude our audits. I wish to cover the first one, which is clean audits. Clean audits basically that every happy from the audit level, but an audit is able to produce financial statements that are free from material misstatements, which is the requirement of FSMA. Secondly, they are able to measure and report on their performance in accordance with their predetermined objectives in their IDP in the manner that is useful and reliable to the users of the annual reports. Then they also comply with the key legislation as they get to spend the resources to achieve those objectives. This opinion is also referred to as unqualified with no findings, as we normally depict it as clean. The other category is qualified opinions or unqualified with findings, where we basically say we get to report findings around material misstatements in the financial statements. For this result, there were 110 auditees who had unqualified opinions, but with findings. 84 of which could not effect the required correction and received qualified opinions. Then we also report cases where the performance reports are not useful or reliable, where auditees are not able to set clear performance indicators and targets that are measurable against the set predetermined objectives. There's cases also where the reports are not reliable on whether they've achieved their targets from the audit level. Then the other two categories is adverse opinion and disclaimer opinions, where from the audit we are unable to provide an opinion on the basis that there were no sufficient supporting documentation to back up the financial statements as well as the performance information. In other cases, you find that there's disagreements with management, how they've accounted for their transactions, or they are not in line with the accounting framework. So that results in an adverse opinion. This slide talks to the movement of all the municipal audits, including entities, the movement thereof. I'll start with the first green, unqualified with no findings. We have 30 in this period. 17 has improved to that category. So we had 13 last year. So that is quite a remarkable improvement that should be noted. With respect to the other category, unqualified with findings, we have 19 audits that have moved from qualified with findings to that level. We also had 4 audits that have moved from adverse or disclaimer to unqualified with findings. 112 remained unchanged. Then we had one audit that was regressed from unqualified with no findings to unqualified findings. Similarly, other categories qualified with funding and adverse, basically those are the movements that were depicted. 23 improved from disclaimer, 45 remained. We have two that have regressed from clean, 13 also regressed from unqualified with funding. I move on to the next lecture. This slide covers all the information that we have reflected in the presentation. I'll start with the top left block. There we are analyzing the improvement in audit outcomes over the last 3 years. The green category is clean audits. We had 5% in 2010-11, 5% in 2011-12, then it has increased to 9%. Because of that movement that I just highlighted. The year is unqualified with findings. It's been 47, 2010-11, currently sitting at 41% in 2012-13. The second category is the qualified opinion with findings. Once more, the depiction there indicates some improvement. It makes some regression from 1922 to 25 in the 2012-13. Then on the disclaimer adverse category, we are seeing some slight level of improvement, 29% to 20%. Then 5% of the ODEs were not finalized when we take up of these results are concerned. That was on the 15th of February this year. 5% of the ODEs were outstanding. As far as the audit is concerned, we look at six risk areas that we looked at. One is supply chain management, quality of performance reports, human resource management, fourthly, quality of submitted financial statements. We look at risk associated with information technology controls. Then lastly, we look at the financial health of all the audits that we audit. Just to cover the supply chain, the pink color basically says there were material findings at 68%. Green basically there were no findings. 17 is basically findings that are not really a material in the supply chain. I'll cover those issues in detail as I move on with the side that talks to supply chain management. Quality of performance reports, 34% of the ODTs have no findings, 66% we found material findings under quality of performance reports. Once more, we look at two assertions where we look at performance reports, that is usefulness and reliability of those reports. Human resource management, 31% no findings, 36% findings, 43% had material findings. Similarly, quality of submitted financial statements, 82% of the ODTs had material findings. So we had to give an opportunity for adjustment to be affected. There's a slide that talks to the particular area in detail. Information technology, 30% of the ODTs are okay with no findings. Controls are adequate and robust. 39% with findings, 48% with material findings. Lastly, on financial health, we contend with 38% of the ODTs with material findings. 24% are okay, 38% with insignificant findings. Then the next block, we look at drivers of internal control, where we say, if management can focus on these pillars, one is leadership, financial and performance management, and the last leg is governance, where governance structures like audit committees, internal audit, impact should play a role. The Green Kala talks to good controls and effectiveness of those governance structures. Yellow is concerning. Then the pink color basically says there's intervention required. So as far as leadership is concerned, we're seeing some improvement. So 41% to 34% year on year. So this technically means 34% of the ODTs would need to do some work on the leadership aspect. Similarly, under financial and performance management, here we look at financial disciplines around daily control, reconciliation, monthly recons, to ensure that the financial reporting is accurate, complete, and in line with the compliance framework. Intervention is required in terms of 31% of the DTs. The 9% are concerning. There's plans that are being in place. 20% there's good control. Governance structures, once more, 28% of the DTs, those structures are effective and playing their roles. 1% concerning. 31% would require some intervention to enhance those structures. Next block, we talk of level of assurance provided by key role players. This talks to combined assurance, where you look at that level of assurance, where senior management plays a role, chief executive officer, municipal managers, as well as mayors. This is the third line of defense where if all the role players are playing their role effectively, it becomes easier for second level of assurance and that level of assurance to play their role. In that case, 30% senior management is effective. They provide effective assurance. 53% provide some assurance. Mayor sitting at 49%. Then limited assurance is depicted by the pink color, which is 34% senior management, 38% and 35% for mayor. Second level of assurance is the role played by internal audit committees, coordinating and monitoring departments. Once more, it differs the province. There's a slide that will cover the results in terms of the provincial program. Third level of assurance is municipal councils, municipal public accounts committees, NCOT, portfolio committees, etc. So these are the percentages in terms of assessment. 11% municipal councils effective, they provide assurance. MPEX, 7%. Overall, we haven't seen the major movement in terms of this level of assurance. Moving on to root causes, Chair. We have looked at the most prevalent root causes that inform the outcome. One root cause at 10% of the ODTs is slow response by the political leadership to address the root causes of poor audit outcomes. Then in 2011-12, that number was 80%, so there's a movement of 3% as well as improving. Then the second root cause is lack of consequence for poor performance and transgression at 71% of the ODTs. So this root cause technically says we report the audit findings, audit outcomes, there's plans designed to deal with those audit outcomes, but we see that there's lack of consequences in terms of dealing with those issues roles. And lastly, we look at key positions that are vacant and key officials lacking appropriate competences. We are saying this is a contributory factor to some of these audit outcomes. And 69% of the ODTs are valid around this issue. I'll move on to the next slide, Chair. What we have done on this slide, we have taken the statistics SA figures in terms of areas around demographic profiles, but there's some talk to the entire country. It makes sense when you look at this compared to the actual municipality around the labor, education of the people residing in that municipality, as well as the extent of the services that are provided by municipalities. They were not audited, but they meant to basically, let's say, numbers basically correlate with those outcomes that we are writing. So in the general report of respective provinces, there'll be this type of steps for each municipality. So it would be opportune for members to look at each municipality at large, if need be. Status and progress of audit outcomes. The next picture is mainly the 5-year comparison from 2008-09. It's quite clear that the same audit opinions are being addressed. We're looking at more improvement in this type of audit opinions, but there is some level of progress. Some are shifting to qualified, which is a purple block. Some are able to move to the yellow zone, which is unqualified with findings. These are provincial profiles. Red is disclaimer and advert opinions. In Limpopo, there's 9 auditees. Mpumalanga, 5. Northwest, 15. Free State 8, Eastern Cape 13, Northern Cape 11. Provinces that are quite progressing very well, I must say, is Gauteng, KZN, Western Cape, and the root causes mainly is all those level of internal control that mentioned, and combined assurance, where COPCAT is a whole nation, provincial treasury, and that's a PGFA in terms of dealing with the audit outcomes. I'll move on, Chair. I'll have to skip the slides that talk to each province. Members can look at those slides in detail. I wish to cover qualification area, that is slide 20. We talk to audits that are in the purple zone. Most of the qualification areas that we are reporting sit mainly around property, infrastructure and equipment. 36% of the auditees were qualified on that. Irregular expenditure around supply chain management activities, 31%, where we could not determine completeness of irregular expenditure because in the financial statements, due to inadequate processing to account for irregular costs. Then another qualification area which is highly prevalent is receivables, 25% of audits were reported. We could not determine whether the terms that were presented in financial statements were correct, appropriately valued, due to limitations around the systems and strategic documentation. So these are the main qualification areas. Talking to the 5-year picture that we have alerted, there's been a number of qualification areas. So it's quite easy to know that we are talking of 3 areas as opposed to a number of accountancies that we used to report in the last few years. Non-compliance, which is the neckline. 90% of the audits were finding under compliance with legislation. 10%, which constitutes 33, had no findings. Again, it was a slight improvement compared to the prior period, where green was 5%, and now we're sitting at 10%. The issues driving compliance findings mainly, which is the next slide, it's vital financial statements submitted for audits, where we often find the government statements, and OTTs are given an opportunity to adjust, where they are not in a position to adjust, it results in a qualification. The next area, 68%, is supply chain management, closed by prevention of unauthorized, irregular, and or fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Payment within 30 days and expenditure management is still an issue at 52% of the disease. The next level is on performance information, measurement of strategic planning and performance, 50%. Budget control, 45%. Audit committees and internal audits, 35%. Just to explain the colors, green means improvement in that area. Yellow means stagnant, red basically says we are regressed. The next slide I wish to cover is 23, that is irregular expenditure. Once more, we have put 3 years to compare. The number is increasing. 2011, we had reported 4.6 billion. 2012, the figure increased to 10.1 billion. Now we're sitting at 9.195 billion reported. We have split the findings where we say some of these amounts were identified by the OTTs and they've disclosed that. A portion of that was identified during the audit. We should move on to slide 28. Just to emphasize once more, these are the six areas that we look at when we audit. They are still relevant for the audits going forward. We look at supply chain management, the risky area, quality of performance reports, human resource management, improper vacancies, key officials, competencies, so that they are in a position to provide leadership in dealing with the audit outcomes. Quality of submitted financial statements, the risky area, IT controls, and financial health. Once more, red talks to entities where there's interventions that are required. Yellow means there's findings, there's progress, direction plans that are aimed at addressing those issues. Green basically says there's no findings. The next slide talks to details of supply chain management. Once more is the detail of errors that we look at, limitation of scope in terms of hours that we are given. Hours to employees and counselors or other officials of the state. Hours given to those family members of employees and counselors. Uncompetitive or unfair procurement processes. Inadequate contract management, as well as the overall internal control deficiencies. The last two slides I wish to cover, Chair, is the one on consultants, slide 82, and the one on IT controls, which is slide 85. This slide to talk to consultants that were employed by municipalities and some municipal entities. To assist in terms of doing financial reporting, as well as preparation of performance information. We have split the amount that has been spent, 695 million, was spent for financial reporting, 89 million for performance information. Then a block with different percentages technically covers issues around ineffectiveness of the use of consultants, where there's lack of records and documents, but you find that some of the consultants do take contracts to pay their financial statements is better and that is the lack of adequate records to do so. The other one talked to about the ineffectiveness, which is sitting at 15% and 24% respectively. One other reason is consultants that we appointed too late in the process. We also have like poor project management on the part of senior management responsible for those municipalities. And the last category is where the assessment rate consultants did not deliver. Slide 35, Chair, is IT controls. Mainly here we look at the IT governance in terms of all applicable legislation and best practices around IT. We look at security management, what are the control deficiencies around security management in the IT environment. We also look at user access management and IT service continuity. These areas are key in that controls are critical in that information of the auditees are not subject to sabotage or unauthorized access. IT service continuity talks to issues where if there's an incident, there should be adequate backup controls where the municipality or that specific entity can be able to do business if there's a fire or whatever incident that may impact on the IT infrastructure. User access talks to access management, where you may find that if controls are not working, I can be able to access the IT infrastructure and make payments as a hacker and so forth. Those are the risks that we look at. The IT control. Thank you. I think I've covered mainly what the chief of the
Okay. Thank you very much for the presentation. But what would you have?
Final conclusion. Comparing to other countries, are we doing well? We are bad. There's similar level of development. I'm not talking about Switzerland. I'm talking about countries that have similar level of development in terms of accountability and systems. Where are we? Are we bad, worse off? What is our computing?
It's a very difficult question, Chair. In terms of the role we play as a Chapter 9 institution, for the fact that we are reporting these outcomes in a very transparent manner, without any limitations, I would say we are doing well as a country. Appreciating the challenges as well, as we are a young democracy, 20 years to be exact. And the closer that has depicted when one compares the actual picture where we come from. I think there's a visible level of accountability. Yes, what it is that fit with the same as well, we don't have information, it's a different combination altogether.
Okay, thank you very much. More addition? You want to add? Yeah, please. Preparing in mind for the chapter and institutions are there to support democracy and to work with members of parliament very well, who hold Omatonzela accountable. Omatonzela, you are happy?
I'm happy about being held accountable.
That's what you want.
But I'm not happy about the auditors.
Members, any question that you want to put to the General's office? Honorable Shema. Madam, please.
Okay. No. Shema. No.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody, Auditor General, department colleagues. I just want to levels of assurance, and I was quite taken aback by the levels of assurance which you indicated to the legislature, EOP, portfolio companies and so on. If provide limited or no assurance at 47% and provide some assurance at 53% and no indication at all of providing that provides assurance. I mean, to what extent are you engaging with those bodies to try and improve that situation? Because I think there's an indictment which is done really inspire confidence if the legislatures and the NCOP and the portfolio committees at 0% of providing assurance at all. So I mean the capacity levels between which you are imparting to assist in that regard, that is for me quite concerning. I also wanted to find that the supply chain management on the very same slide, I think it's in the risk, the six risk areas, with supply chain management to the 68% with material findings, with the levels of capacity in that regard in terms of assisting there as well. If you could just speak to that, because I do feel that's quite a huge percentage and probably comprises the importance of the backbone of municipalities. Chair, I want to go to the big question on consultants, particularly those providing, I'm not anti-consultants, but when I juxtapose them to the health of municipalities in general, whether we can actually satisfy ourselves that municipalities are performing well when on the basis of the Auditor General's findings, when they are being assisted at quite a huge sum of money, 695M and 39M, that expenditure for me is a problem. I'm looking at whether municipalities actually have the internal capacity on their own, and this heavy reliance on compliance, because we can sit here and say that, well, there is improvement, but that improvement is sanitized with all due respect, because there's a heavy reliance on consultants. So we do need to look into that, and I want to find out from the Auditor General, in fact, to what extent do they actually probe now these consultants? Are these consultants qualified to the extent that we can satisfy ourselves that the work that they have done is reliable? And how does this assist the municipalities to sustain themselves and to be independent if continuously there's going to be such high expenditure on consultants? So I do think, Chairperson, that is of great concern and needs to be looked at in greater detail to effect the necessary corrective action. My final point would be to the department. There's outstanding ODT at 5%, and to just find out what actions are being taken to correct that particular aspect, because I don't think that's proper for anybody not to submit and to meet the timeline, the deadline. It's not as if it sprung upon them today, tomorrow, this due process to be followed, and so we probably need to find out how we're going to look into that particular aspect as well, because it indicates an increase, in fact, of outstanding ODT. So, I mean, they've moved up from something to correction. So, but that increase, of course, in that particular aspect in the area of non-submission is a problem, and what actions are being taken to correct that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not quite sure if this should be addressed directly to the Auditor General, maybe to National Treasury or however, but it relates to the whole picture that has come out here. My first comment is one of the slides that wasn't covered was slide number 36. Which relates to the financial health of municipalities. And this is quite a shocking indictment on our municipality's ability to deliver the services that are required of them. Some of the things that are highlighted, 71% of municipalities, of auditees, let us use the correct terminology, 71% of auditees have more than 10% of their debt irrecoverable. And you can go through the rest of it there, underspending of capital budget, underspending of conditional grants, collection periods, payment periods of more than 90 days. 32% of auditees are unable to pay their creditors within 90 days. That's unacceptable, citizens. Now, all of these things were, and indeed, most of the issues that have been covered here were part of the Operation Clean Audit program that was announced in 2009 by then Minister Shishakis. And we haven't seen the results from that program that we need to see. So I guess what I'm asking, and perhaps this needs to go to the department, perhaps it needs to go to Treasury, I don't think it needs to go to the Auditor General because it's not his job to deliver those clean audits, it's his job to verify that they are being, that the work is being done satisfactorily. But it's the department and Treasury that need to make sure that municipalities and municipal entities are able to deliver clean audits. So my question then is, what are we doing to achieve those clean audits? And why, 5 years down the line, have we actually not made any progress whatsoever? Then we need to take a look at some of the other issues. We have some very good legislation in the Municipal Finance Management Act, but the level of compliance is not good. And that's something that needs to be addressed. I'm also very concerned, and I don't know that, I couldn't pick it up on the presentation, the Compliance with the Property Rates Act, and I know this is something that the department is currently verifying in a sample of municipalities that they've been working with, 30 municipalities in the last financial year, and I think they've got another 30 municipalities in this financial year. But I think this is something that we need to factor in during our audit process, is how compliant are municipalities with the Property Rates Act in promulgating their budgets properly, in promulgating their rate increases, in promulgating their tariff increases, using the correct procedures, using bylaws that are effective, using policies that are effective. So that's the second aspect of that. I'm very concerned about the high level of vacancies in municipalities in senior management positions and the high turnover rate of municipal managers, CFOs, and senior officials. But what really, really worries me is on slide number... Is this in addition? Slide number 31, at the bottom there. The number of municipal managers, CFOs, and heads of supply chain management that do not meet the minimum competencies. Now, all of this was stipulated by regulation, and there was a waiver given for people who were in a job. Then there was an extension given that people could become compliant. Then there was another extension given. And yet, if we have a look at this audit outcome, 27% of municipal managers don't have the minimum competency to do their job. No wonder we're relying on consultants, as Honourable Tengwa says. 33% of CFOs are unable to deliver. No wonder we don't have financially compliant statements. No wonder we don't have, or we are using consultants, and why the financial health of municipalities is suffering if they are not. So, Chairperson, that is a major area of concern for me. And then the last area, and I'm pleased to see that there has been an improvement in the performance management, in the quality of performance management, and it's now verifiable. It hasn't been a huge improvement, but we're in the 30% range on performance management, which is a positive step. We still have a long way to go, and that's something I'd like the department to address, is what steps are being taken to improve the quality of performance management in municipalities and municipal entities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Matthew. So I thought we talked on one potential and talked about the approaching of the consultants that this is the picture of the outcome we need to take.
You are
mic
there?
Yes, I was trying to relate the same question involving consultants.
to say what is the use of actually outsourcing if the only outcome remains the same in spite of their input.
Thank you very much. I'll just express appreciation for the kind of detail that this slide provides. And I feel that it could go a long way of empowering many of us and elements participating on this matter. So looking forward to more information of the time being made available. The first question that I want to pose, Chairperson, is in relation to an observation that's being made on slide 20 on most areas of qualification being on supply of information on property infrastructure and equipment. What I want to know, because this problem has been there for many years in municipalities, I want to have a sense of what is the rate of improvement, say over the last 5 years, or 3 years, in relation to this information being made available. And if, for instance, the difficulties in collecting this data, what is it that they are putting forward as a proposal just to ensure that this problem is meaningfully addressed? The second question is on leadership. The emergency of leadership in relation to leaders taking being too slow to respond. And it says in the slide there, 77%. But there's also the issue in relation to leadership being one of the drivers of internal control and therefore lack of this being a problem. Now, I know that many organizations are talking leadership and many organizations are talking leadership and most of the successful companies go out of their way to produce leaders, not of managers, but leaders. And now, are there any specific proposals and concrete ideas that are putting forward, or steps that are taking to ensure that the situation is addressed? Insofar as leadership broadly is concerned, and insofar as leadership in relation to the management of finances and resources is concerned. The other issue that is of concern to me is this question of technology, hacking, and the kind of problems that lead to IT becoming a bit of a burden rather than a solution to the problems. What I want to know is what is the range of improvement again over a period of the last 5 years or so. Are there lessons, for instance, that we can learn from the financial sector and specifically banks insofar as this matter is concerned? I guess the banks do also have problems of this kind. They don't talk loudly about it, but I think the problem is there. So
whether in the next sitting of this committee, can we have a report on what steps have been taken in instances where the managers do not act on the recommendations of the audit outcome in terms of remedial work. Can we have a report to that effect as to what is actually, what steps are we taking against it?
Chair, I always admit something when I don't know. I'm not a taxi driver. I'm not going to specialize on the issue of taxes. I'm not a financial person. And I might ask just general questions to my board, either one of this department. I don't think I will be one. In terms of your municipalities that have addressed, like for instance the Northwest and the Northern Cape and the Eastern Cape, I want to check, maybe I don't know whether from the department, because the storytellers in the provinces that you have picked up, the level of poverty, poor services delivered to the people on the ground. What steps really that concretely have we recommended, in particular in relation to this provinces, to be taken with immediate speed to intervene in terms of financial management? If I see reversed, meaning we have 13% of the municipalities in that respect who were addressed the requirements as payments, and many other municipalities, 50% there, if I'm correct, I don't know, 15 municipalities or 15%, you understand. What is it that we are doing in relation to that? Or I would just want to say, we are improving. I'm going to come to the improving part of it later on. What is it that we are going to do moving from here? I think this report was available out there immediately when it was published, and I've seen a lot of comments on the news in relation to this. Because, the second one, I don't know where this falls. Many of the municipalities commission investigation reports in relation to financial management. I will take an example of where I come from. Since I was once an employee, there have been a lot of reports, like a Kapusu report. I don't know whether it falls in the department. There have been a Bigode report that was commissioned in the Nelson municipality. But these reports have not been, they are commissioned millions and millions of money, different companies who come in and do these investigations and make recommendations in terms of improvement. But it's at the reports will never see the day when they get to see action being taken or made public. And I think this falls under the department. I think the department should answer. And I view that if reports are commissioned, should be commissioned and allocated, and should have expenditure. I mean, the spirit is not using those reports. Who can be made liable of such things? I've seen an improvement, the minister seemingly in respect, took some action about a specific event where it was approved and it was viewed as a fruitless expenditure. But in the spirit is such as Nelson Mandela, when are we going to see action in relation to these reports that are commissioned and no action is taken? If we are seeing the past, you use the 20 year period of democracy, which I believe maybe the rationale behind that is because some of these instruments were introduced post democracy. Now, you say our progress as from there, but I think now we're improving. But where does it translate to the really, to me, some of the, if you talk about some of these elements, if you talk about a well-managed institution, some of these things might look so major, but they go back to complaints in the management system of institution. And in South Africa, lack of compliance by institution, when they comply, or what, to me, I'm able to say, what are you supposed to do? Like when you go to work every day, you're supposed to work by the rules. To me, it's called improvement when they start to. It's an achievement to the real meaning of managing municipalities. What effect does this have, improvement that are promoted to the actual outcome of that approval on the ground? Does it translate to that? You know why I'm writing this? I've said in the Department of Agriculture, portfolio committee, we have never there, you will explain this because the financial does it, but never there received a disclaimer, not at all. But money that has stolen, we receive what is everything. But we have been eating every corner, millions and millions, millions of rent being stolen in that department, and report is very beautiful. What does that mean? Because many municipalities that they steal it, if like it's a festival of stealing. But the report is very nice, the report. What does that mean? Why? Explain to me as the geography and history person. What does that mean? Because to me, I want to see this kind of improvement you're talking about. The actual services that are supposed to go to the people. Lastly, when are we going to see consequences? EG is the move of the minister in Johannesburg municipality, a direction that we are going to take. When are we going to see action in the Eastern Cape? When are we going to see action in the Northern Cape? When are we going to see action in the Northwest? I think as politicians, we must come a time when we say, equivalent, now we receive a report. That's the thing. We want you to come back here in this portfolio with a template like this one. This template is done very nicely of action. That we're going to action against that. I think it should be time for action now. Fortunately enough, yourself, you have said 20 years. Now, I think this is going to be the 25th. Yeah. Therefore, when are we going to see action? Thank you, sir.
Now we are giving your own audit opinion. Unqualified audit. Honorable Mabula and that is
unqualified. And thanks, Chair. And then welcome the report from the AG. I just have got some few issues, Chair, which I would like to raise. Maybe the first thing is that the audit report is that does not present a very rosy picture about the performance of the municipalities. Not only financial performance, but generally the performance, because the audit both the financial and performance information, so it doesn't give such a rosy picture about the state of our municipalities. But however, Chair, we must welcome the improvements which seem to be there. When you look at slide number 4, there is quite some improvement, although it's a very slight improvement in the performance of the municipalities. But I would have preferred a situation where the comparison is over a period of 10 years, not only 3 years, because I think the comparison here has been made over a period of 3 years. It would have been better just to indicate that over a 10 or 5 year period, for instance, what has been the movement, so that we can be able to track. I mean, 20 years into our democracy, are we making progress at the level of the municipalities over a long period of time, not just 3 years? But however, the information that is here indicates that there is a slight improvement. But I think we should come to a point where the department must set sort of the performance targets in terms of improvement, because we know that we are not going to achieve improvements overnight. That come the next financial year, all the municipalities are going to receive unqualified claim audits. That is not going to happen now. So we need the department to set targets and to be able to monitor and follow up on the targets that have been set, so that you are able to assist the municipalities to get improved audits. I've noticed that the AG has specified the municipalities that require attention, and I hope that the department will tell us what is it exactly that they are going to do to follow up on those municipalities which have been identified problems and problems. The second issue that I would like to raise is with regards to slide number 9. On provinces, it seems from this slide that there are 3 provinces which have done well: Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Western Cape. And Chair, if you look at the level of development in our country, we know that these are the 3 provinces which are highly developed, where there is a high concentration of skills in these provinces, Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape. Now, I would like to find out if there is any relationship whatsoever, or any correlation between the level of development and the concentration of skill in a province or a municipality, and the performance of that municipality. Because in the level of development, we know that the resources also are there in most of those municipalities. So is there a relationship? Because the reality of our country, Chair, will tell us that in a very small municipality, that municipality will mostly struggle to attract the kind of skill that is required to perform at an optimal level. And that has got a relationship with how that municipality is going to perform in terms of financially and otherwise. So I would like to find out both from the AG and from the department if that relationship exists, or is it something that should have been ignored. And slide number 5 on the level of assurance. I see here, Chair, that our first Parliament Portfolio Committee, there seems to be no assurance that can be obtained from ourselves in respect of this audit outcome. And just to add on what the Honorable Tengo was saying, I mean, this is quite an indictment, and I'm sure that the expectation should be defined from the office of the AG as to what level of assurance are they expecting from Parliament, so that we can be able to do what is expected of us. Because just to say that we are obtaining no assurance from yourself without defining the kind of expectations that you expect from us is something else. And lastly, Chair, just to congratulate the office of the Auditor General. I think they are doing well in terms of executing their constitutional mandate, unlike other Chapter 9 institutions which seem to be playing more to the gallery than actually be concerned with their actual constitutional mandate. I think you are doing well by doing this very painstaking work, of identifying the issues in the municipalities and bringing that to the attention of all concerned in our country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, if you are a Japanese institution, you must have taste right so that things are connected and the constitution is protected. Slide 29. Findings on hygiene management. We have identified problems and deficiencies, but there is no action plan to overcome those deficiencies. So, I'm requesting the office of the Auditor General to look into what action to be taken to remedy the situation. We have identified problems, there must be an action to remedy this. On slide 29, we have also identified witnesses. Some of them are recurring. We couldn't implement the previous recommendations from the Auditor General. Then we are in another audit report with the previous deficiencies also that were not covered, were not improved. So I want to request the office of the Auditor General to look into measures on how to control so that we don't claim that we are still an infant in terms of our democracy. 3 years is too much. 3 years is too much. You give back 10 years, 21 years. So 3 years has covered too much. We cannot rely on the past, we must go forward. So in terms of this, we identify issues, but there are no control measures to overcome this thing. As much as its report, last year we put it on this thing, it is still carried. So the office of the Auditor General must not be praised to be doing good, must be praised to be addressing this and protecting the public. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that you are not the other person. Let me send now for and get the photographs.
Thank you, Sheridan. Let me also welcome the Board of Aging and also to congratulate the report of the chief, because there are many municipalities now so that are improving. Chairperson, mine is my question is based on the section 19 that are on the municipalities. I want to check from the AG that the municipalities that have a section 19 are improving or not on the issue of audit outcomes. That is one. And the second one, based on the issue of Chairperson, 20 years when I just check it, just like yesterday, it's not many years. Because we want the transition first. After traditional studying now with the issue of building municipalities. And also in the question of the case on the issue of CFOs and environment justice, I just want to check if the department or the office of the general can assist on the issue of assisting the small municipalities to get the person with more skills, just like you or environment justice. Because some municipalities don't have funds or that can pay salaries for the municipal managers that are supposed to do their work. Also, the issue of asset register. Some instances now still have a problem of asset register. Now, I just wonder from the department how they are going to assist that in the
And also, the lastly, I just want to say that the office must be put up for the work that they're doing. No matter how the messages are improving slowly, but they will get there. Thank you very much.
And
mine is on the audit outcomes, particularly in the process, Chair. There are issues that have been already raised. If you look at your slide 9, your top, almost your top 3 provinces that are doing well, it's said to be doing well with unqualified qualified findings. But when you go to details, because you also provided us with details of each province, some of these provinces have been reported that in their performance status as lack of leadership, others have been reported as non-compliance, others have been reported as financially ill-disciplined. So how then these provinces got what they've got right now when issues of this nature have been reported into those things?
No, thank you very much. I just wanted to know how many municipalities are under administration at the moment. The question that has been asked by my colleague here, and what steps are being taken to assist these other provinces, you know, in terms of setting their clear targets, putting in controls, in terms of skills, transfer, etc. These provinces like Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, Free State, because probably better performing well here are Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape. So, and I understand, Chair, that unless you have properly qualified personnel in the supply chain management area, finance, in technical services, you know, it will be very difficult to reach the standard that you want to reach. And again, the issue of fraud and corruption, that is not attended to. The recent report, 2012-2013 report of the Auditor General, indicating that almost half a billion rand spent on tenders awarded to family members, companies owned by either councillors or employees within municipalities, and companies belonging to relatives getting tenders. You know, others up to the value of about 75 million, 90 million, etc., etc. Because those are the issues that must be dealt with. And of course, this has to do with how often the Auditor General works with the department to look into those issues and also with the municipalities. I mean, that should be constant because they can't improve unless you work with them. So it's a whole plethora of issues at stake that will bring about the turnaround. So that's my take. Thank you.
Okay, no, I know that some of the question of alerting with the department, I think once my tonsilla to get a presentation, a very short one, and he can also answer some of the questions.
Thanks, Chen. We should start with our reputation promise of before I take out the
on the question of the division. I did highlight earlier on that our role as an auditor is to enable accountability, oversight, and governance through the reports that we are taking. So in terms of action that needs to be taken as far as these outcomes are concerned, accountability basically rests with senior management as they are responsible for the budget that they table for each municipality. They set the strategic objectives in terms of what issue not to be to be achieved in the respective municipalities. Basically, the role of an audit is to give an independent assurance to say what management is reporting in terms of finances and the performance report is we can talk to it and turn off as auditors. That's our role as an audit office. As far as oversight is concerned, there was a question to say to what extent do we engage with the legislatures in the province, MPEG, all the role players. We have a visibility program that covers all the role players, from executive mayors, speakers of legislatures, senior management audit committees. We do highlight these findings and audit witnesses to those role players. So in that case, we are enabling oversight and governance, which is the role we are playing as far as the role of this audit committee, of the PC portfolio committee is concerned. So in terms of consequence management, actions to be taken, monitoring, it basically fits with all these role players that I've just mentioned, including this audit, this portfolio committee. So when we talk about issues around lack of consequences, leadership as a driver of internal control, we are highlighting weaknesses in the system that may result in issues around risk that may be faced by the municipalities or entities. So in brief, what I'm trying to explain is that our role as an audit office is to audit and report and engage in terms of the audit outcome to say what do we mean when we say these are the drivers around supply chain management, financial health, all the six areas that I've just mentioned. We're technically trying to support all the role players involved. So around the question of action that needs to be taken, policies, recommendations, it's not within the mandate of the audit office to do them. It's critical for me that I mention that before I take the individual questions. I'll kick off with the first one, level of assurance. The question was, to what extent are we engaging the structures, legislator? When we analyze these findings, we try and group these stakeholders. For example, if you say legislator, NCOP, portfolio committees, we are relating to these structures at provincial level. And we do engage with them. We analyze the findings and the extent of the repeat findings that are actually occurring. So the assessment that says there's lack of consequences, there's no effective leadership taken. By that we mean leadership must have an action plan to deal with those issues so that they are not repeat findings. For an example, if we highlight an issue around supply chain management and say we do all the transactions but there's no detention that says quotations are sourced from service providers. Yes, we can actually see the invoice that has been paid, a service has been delivered, but from the audit level and supply chain management requirements, the same, management should have three quotations so that you are in a position to see that the price that you are paying is economical, is effective, is efficient. We don't have that for the auditors if you are given one quote and the service is provided. So when we analyze an issue that says there's no proof from the auditors that says there's a competitive bidding process that is being supported by the internal control processes. So what management needs to do
internal audit committees, they need to make sure that the system is being addressed so that three quotations are invalid as required by the law. I'm giving that by way of example. So if we audit for 3 years in that specific entity or municipality and we still picking up the same issue, that basically informs the assessment that there is there's lack of consequences, lack of response by leadership and other root layers. That's what we mean when you highlight that as a root cause. But just to answer the question, we do have engagements at all levels, speakers of legislature, premiers, executive mayors, around audit outcomes. We also look at the action plans, how they monitor them, commitments, up to a level where we say issues are being addressed, they are off the audit report. The second question was 68% of SEM findings, which is slide 29. Are there levels of capacity involved? What are we doing to assist as an AG office? Once more, our role is to report these findings, report internal control deficiencies. As you can see from the slide, we are saying there's a limitation of scope on planned audits around the awards. What that means is that we select some of these contracts to audit, but we are not given a supporting documentation to see if all the supply chain management procedures were followed by the auditees or municipal entities. So it's an audit issue. It needs to be addressed at the level of senior management and all other role players, which is internal audit, audit committees, MPECs, and control committees in provinces, all the way to the premier, so that these issues are dealt with. I've asked the employees and councillors and other officials of the state, once more, it's a risk that you're identifying in the environment. It's happening. It's been happening over the years. It's a key risk around the supply chain management. Yes, in terms of root causes, it's driven by a number of variables. Some audiences don't have capacity in their supply chain management units. Some do have capacity, but you still find this type of audit outcomes. So there's a number of variables that are driving this audit outcome. Use of consultants, what is internal capacity? That was the issue. Is there heavy reliance on consultants? As an audit office, once more, we are not advocating that consultants should not be utilized. But we are looking at the internal control environment, how consultants are managed in terms of transfer of skills, capacity building in the municipality, project management, where consultants are used. Management should know the terms of reference for those consultants and the deliverables, so that they are in a position to take corrective action if consultants are not delivering. So there are cases where you find that doing all this, management is not involved. Consultants are basically answerable as far as the process is concerned. So it's an issue. It talks to the project management and the level at which management is in control around what consultants are doing in that environment. Then you also look at the impact around those terms of reference. If consultants are employed to compile financial statements, when you come in as an auditor, you find a magnitude of material in the statement that needs to be corrected. Again, we need to highlight to say the auditors pick these issues despite the fact that the consultants were engaged to do the report. There was a question on outstanding audits, what action is being done. As indicated earlier on, the cutoff was 15% when we finalized the report. Some of these audits are finalized, but I don't have the statistics currently to say how many were finalized, how many are still outstanding. Slide 86 on financial health. Once again, these are the control issues we are analyzing. If you look at the municipality where deaths are not relevant, that specific municipality will have challenges in terms of settling their liabilities if they have no ability to collect. So we do highlight it to management to say it's one risk that needs to be tackled around financial health of that municipality. If one looks at underspending of additional grants by more than 10%, again, it's driven by a number of variables. There can be a budget available with no skilled project managers to deliver or the promise or tickets that have been made. No, we are analyzing that. If there is to say the delivery issues, yes, it is a risk because if the money is not spent, communities on the ground may be, you know, quite unhappy with the lack or delay in the delivery. One more is highlight the financial health. We can talk about credit as payment period, linked to the ability of collection of that health. We also highlight deficit realize to say if there's a budget table that comes to level, there should be budget control at the level of municipality to make sure that they don't realize the deficit. Because if you realize the deficit, it means there may be a bank overdraft, which will raise the risk of financial health going forward for that municipality. So once more, it's up to management and the leadership to make sure that these issues are addressed. And the expectation once more is the portfolio committee, we enabling you to do your effective oversight so that if you understand these issues, you can be able to monitor and check the action plans that are approved by COCTA, National Treasury, and the Department of Specific Municipalities. Compliance with property rates, there was a question to say we need to look at the Act. I think from the policy level where we are expected to make recommendations, it's beyond our mandate as the ACSA. But I think the audit stopped at a level where if tariffs are approved by the relevant bodies, different categories of properties, we do audit that because it impacts on the completeness of the revenue of that specific municipality. But not an extent where we can recommend changes to that specific legislation. Some of the questions, I think our colleagues from National Treasury or DCOP can tackle that. I'm just trying to find, I covered the issue of leadership and slow response as a root cause. There was a question on slide 20, progress made on PPE. What proposal is being made for municipalities to be able to have complete asset register and deal with these issues of PPE? There's a lot of support that is being given from provincial COCTAs, treasuries, and at the national level. I'm sure our colleagues will be able to cover this one. Then on IT risks. Is IT a burden or solution, issues around hacking? What is the progress? I think if I can talk to a progress that has been made, a governance framework has been approved at national level, where all municipalities need to conform to. I think going forward is to ensure that all the risks that we have highlighted around security management, user access and IT service continuity, they need to be implemented through the relevant IT policies. Appreciating the IT skill capacity in the country, that also plays a role. That needs to be taken into cognizance. But I think it's one area where national authorities are supporting municipalities. They'll be able to give some insight on that matter.
There was a question on competences, minimum competences. Once more, we are highlighting this issue to say if there's constraints around competences, there won't be clear direction how to deal with all the matters, let alone meeting the law requirements around accountability, accounting framework, including the framework designed to report performance information of the auditees. There was a question on adequacy of audits, to say the impact on the ground is different to what we are analyzing. I think I did cover that initially to say what is the role of the audit. We don't do 100% audits. However, scientifically, we try and cover the key risk areas of the entities so that we are in a position to back our audit opinion. Investigating report commissions, they are not made public. I don't think I'm in a position to respond to that one. There was a question to say what is being done in Eastern Cape, Northwest State. That's where most of the FEMA opinions are sitting. We are engaging at national level with the Department of Costa, National Treasury, including VALGA, trying to find solutions how they can effectively provide support to those instances, taking again constraints of resources into account. My colleagues will talk to that in detail.
So some questions that overlap with the department. And I guess the gentleman, my concern, take us through, we will be also be able to cover some of the questions that we have already raised. I think it would be fair not to wait to exhaust you more than this. And then, Nelson Mandela, I know that Nelson Mandela is your baby.
Yeah.
And then I must always talk about Nelson Mandela because you are a resident there. I just hope that you pay rate and service, rate and service. Okay, otherwise the first question is not even pay rate and service. And then make it difficult for people to wear. Director General, I think you may also make a presentation, but really, just to allow again members enough time for them to post questions. Summarize presentation very useful. Touching real critical areas in a department can be very useful for me. Just to allow members really to engage with much of that.
Sir Benson, thank you very much indeed for this opportunity. We will endeavor to conform with what you've just requested, but we be brief in our presentation. I just wish to highlight, Jefferson, that we sent you a revised presentation yesterday, which includes only two new slides. So there are only consequential amendments with regard to the number of slides. There's just one slide, number 7, which talks about definitions. And the other slide, which anticipated some of the questions here, deals with the responsibility for audit outcomes. That slide number 15. But otherwise, the rest of the slides remain as they were. Except the slide number 15, we tried to expand a little bit by way of giving examples on matters related to fraud and corruption. Chairperson, I'm going to ask Ms. Lerato Twane to give us the presentation. I know that my colleagues from the Treasury do not have a presentation to give, but they are here to assist us in fielding questions. So the Accountant General will lead the pack as well from his side in fielding the questions that have already been posed or new ones that might still come. Madam Twane.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and good day. I'm going to
make the presentation and try and make it as short as possible in terms of the response to the audit outcomes. And just to say that upfront to the members that this is a joint response that we prepared with the National Treasury as partners in this audit outcomes project. In terms of the person who's running the slides, I will just be running through them very fast as I have been requested. In terms of the background to the audit outcomes, it's important, Chair, for the committee members to know that as the past 10 years specifically, as a treasury and as well as government generally, we have been implementing a lot of reforms in local government, and these reforms were done to improve the way that local government does its work and mainly to professionalize local government. And so when the audit outcomes come, they also come during a period where we're implementing these reforms. For example, as far as the reporting on financial management is concerned, the biggest reform that we put in was where we then said municipalities need to report in a way that is aligned with international standards. That's when we implemented the General Recognized Accounting Practice, the GRAP. This we did during 2009 up to, we did from 2005-06 up to 2009-10. So technically just tells you that we then in our third year where we've had full compliance in this regard. And this is significant in the sense that it tells you that, yes, we were chasing the audit outcome in terms of the improvement, but we were also just fixing the basics on the ground. And those basics required a lot more from municipalities than what they currently had at their disposal in terms of the skills, the competences and all that. And as you know, the journey to improve that doesn't happen overnight because you're already sitting with people that are maybe not as skilled as skilled as you need, that you still need to walk the journey with and try and upskill or replace if possible and practical. And so on the next slide, I'll just talk about the implications of these changes, which are very clear when you look at audit outcomes, and specifically one of the fundamental. But when it comes to the property, plant and equipment, which is the asset management, which was raised as part of the question, to say that why is this lagging behind? It's because this was one of the areas that were hit hard in terms of the reporting. Because not only municipalities needed to know where their infrastructure is or whether it exists, they then needed to also know what is their value, what is their condition, and then this includes assets that are underground. It now brings another skill requirement to municipalities, which is the engineering skills, which was not necessarily that much required in terms of financial reporting. So those are the things that we've had to grapple with, and we are trying to improve this journey of improving local government. The Minister will present it to the committee the Back to Basics program that we are embarking in. And within this back to basis, when we look at the issues of audit outcomes and then linking it to Operation Clean Audit, in other words, a question of Operation Clean Audit, which was what we had introduced in the previous term, the way in the current administration we're looking at is saying that audit outcomes alone cannot be used as a measure to determine the financial health of municipality or even the health of municipality. So we need to look at audit outcomes, but to also look at other issues such as service delivery. And we found that the word in audit sometimes gave the perception that everything is good as far as service delivery. And I think one of the members was giving an example of how people get good reports, but still things happen such as money is being stolen, where that those occurrences. And so the change is just to look at how we can get back to the basics and make sure that municipalities do the bare minimum that they are necessarily supposed to do, and they do that efficiently and look at issues of service delivery, good governance, and financial health combined. So that is basically what we're saying there. That said, that we issued, there is just a confusion in definitions to say that sometimes when you put these things and you don't put them into context, you have these terms that we sometimes not understand what it means. So I'll leave that for the committee members to work through. The explanation there is just to say that some of this terminology are often construed by the public as seem to, that when you say there's irregular expenditure, then it looks like you have the municipality or the entity have actually the fraud and corruption, and it's not always an indicator that there is fraud and corruption. However, it feels like they've not followed the necessary processes. So we have looked at this and the negative connotations that it creates sometimes, and the Department of National Treasury, we have committed that we'll do a lot more of public education so that the public understands the terminology and they do not read these things out of context. And the differentiated approach is something that the Minister has challenged the Treasury to look at and to say that when you look at these requirements, especially for graphs in terms of the reporting standards, which are the international reporting standards, are they justifiable always in the various sizes of municipalities? So should we not look at something that is more appropriate depending on the complexity and size of municipalities? So because now we currently have the same standard that we are letting the city of Durban report that we are using for Nala municipalities or other smaller municipalities. So it's just to look at that, and we consider the simplification that is leading that process, it will we will report as the progress happens on whether or not. But we will also take into cognizance the need for the use of financial statements to say that we still need to uplift the transparency that we want to uplift as government in terms of how we report on financial information. And one of the key achievements of this financial reform really has been the significant improvement in transparency in reporting. Because now that we are able to report in a way that everybody can understand, even internationally, which is a good milestone, and also now that we are, as you can see, the AG pointed out that yes, the improvement is steady and very small, but when you look at that level of disclaimers, that there is a good improvement in terms of eliminating those disclaimers, although we have not eliminated them all. And that is one thing that shows that the transparency is at least improving. People are reporting and they are keeping records that are going to assist them to track their financial transactions. So that is one positivity that we're looking at. And also if you look at ease of irregular expenditures and authorized and all that, we're not, the previous reporting framework did not give so much attention to these. So it looks like these numbers are growing, but it's because now there's a trend in end-of. And making sure that if you have those transgressions, you report them so that the public knows and understands that this is happening in that particular entity. In terms of the specific response to the audit outcomes, we've just taken some of these issues that were raised in that slide 20, that the AGU was saying those are most prevalent in terms of the issues of qualifications, and we've specifically indicated what we'll do with regards to each. So those are talking to property, plant and equipment, where we're saying that we'll strengthen our support. And I think specifically in this regard, what we're also doing, we're using our agency, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, to make sure that as they're working there with their engineers that they bring to municipalities, they also assist with issues of identifying infrastructure assets and assisting municipalities to have these come so that they can be properly reported on the financial level as well. So that is one element that we have also introduced in trying to improve this. The regular expenditure is obviously related to issues of supply chain, whether supply chain management transgressions. So we are proactively supporting these, and the treasuries are leading this process. And also the issue of the introduction of the chief procurement officer will play a role in reducing these deficiencies and making sure that the scope is approaching in supporting municipalities in that regard. In terms of the receivables, municipalities that have revenue management practices that are not good, this is also an area of focus that we are going to bring up and make sure that we are assisting municipalities specifically with their revenue chain, including their billing systems and how their tariffs are, because most of these issues are leading to also the fact that their tariffs are not cost reflective, and if your tariff is wrong already, then it means that you're not going to collect what is due to you as far as what you would have spent on bulk, etc. With financial statements and the use of consultants, we have spoken in this regard, and specifically in this regard, we are going to make sure that as far as the those contracts that are employing the consultants, the skill transfer is going to be an imperative so that when a consultant comes through, there will be a skills transfer. We are working with the accounting general office also to look at how we can have a centralized procurement for these consultants. This will then begin to address the issue of saying what is the quality of our consultants if the financial, if the audit outcomes don't improve even though we're spending so much on them. So if we get closer to that process and be able to assist in terms of qualifying criteria of who can employ, who can get employed and who cannot get employed, and it gets improved there. And also it will assist us to also be closer to the process of assessing whether actually there is a need whenever these people want to use consultants and the root causes of abuse. The responsibility for audit outcomes, fraud and corruption. In terms of the fraud and corruption, specifically, this is one area that the Minister has emphasized as one of the areas that we will work hard on to set to introduce a new set of values so that we'll do this by enforcing this legislation, because the legislation is there on financial misconduct. It's just that enforcement and making sure that we see through these things. I think that's been highlighting a lot of issues of saying there are investigations, but the individuals actually face consequences. So that's going to be an area of focus to make sure that we follow this through. We will use the, where NIU is necessary and as official units, we strengthen those relations. We will make sure that those cases are referred and we monitor the progress close in terms of what they actually do, because they then take over at that level. And also available government avenues that are available, such as SARS, we will use them to conduct live audits and those kind of things where it's necessary. And also the minister is looking at us exploring whether we can then also institute civil claims against those found guilty of fraud and corruption. So because then people found guilty and maybe they are dismissed, but then there's no civil claims that are instituted against those people. In addition, we do as a department maintain a database of those people that have been convicted, so that those people don't go and get employed in other municipalities. And now the municipalities are also, or those top managers seeking those concurrences of MSCs, then these lists become available so that when they look, they also compare to that to say, isn't this a person who has been found guilty elsewhere that we are about to recommend to this school? So that's still the measure to prevent them from easily entering the system. And the responsibility for audit outcomes, we're highlighting in that slide, and we're linking it to those levels of assurance that the AG has just spoken into, to say that the best level of assurance for these audit outcomes lies with the management and the leadership of the municipality. So the accounting officer mainly being the person that does the, who bears the responsibility to do that. When they receive the audit outcomes, they need to then develop the action plan and make sure that it is implemented. And councils are ultimately responsible to enforce that, to make sure that the municipal manager or the accounting officer fulfills that responsibility, and if they don't, then they need to then do something about it. So specifically the role of the mayor and the senior year comes into play, because they are responsible to channel these issues effectively to the council agenda on a continuous basis. Because what happens is that the report, the AG report, and then the plan is presented, but they never follow through to see that the plan actually gets implemented in a way that is going to provide them with better results in the next round. So the second and third levels are there to support this process, to support also to provide that council with information and support. And so therefore, having looked at this, we see that there's a big role that, in terms of addressing the issues of leadership, that we need to play in upskilling and strengthening the ability of councils to perform this level of assurance, and also to appreciate the seriousness of this role. So we'll be putting some energy into that upskilling, and also to provide them with the necessary framework so that they know that this is what you need to follow, and this is how often you need to look at these things and bring them into council, etc., etc. So that is the effort we'll do towards improving leadership. And the supporting municipalities, generally our strategy is that on an annual basis, when we get these outcomes, which is usually we get them in December when the AG presents them to the various municipalities, then we see that municipalities each develop an audit response plan, but also nationally we look at the bigger things that need to at least show up in every province's audit response plan. Then the provinces split that work between themselves and trailers depending on the area of responsibilities and the intent of responding, monitoring, supporting the specific municipalities. But of importance is that the ease of audit outcomes is not just they are general common areas, but that response is municipal specific, and always you need to do a municipal specific plan that needs to be implemented at a municipality by the people that are on the ground at the municipality. So although there are all these also efforts in terms of monitoring and ensuring that, but you cannot be there every day to measure that these things happen. So this is where I think what some of the weaknesses are. When capacities are not strong at municipalities, then you have good plans, but the implementation of those plans then becomes very difficult. So that is the challenge, but we then provide the training, the support, the upskilling to make sure that they improve in this regard. But at the end of the day, the municipalities are ultimately responsible to do these things. The support is generally, the early access support is generally developed based on what AC has reported, and you see that those areas that we focus on in our support is consistent with what the AG is saying is a problem. So how they can improve the quality of financial statements, generalist support them with that, key controls are in place, the correction measures are implemented, use of service providers so that we can improve their efficiencies, I've already indicated what we are doing at national level, development and implementation of audit remedial plans so that there is at least a plan and it is implemented and monitored by the council. Leadership involvement in terms of guiding and directing the implementation of remedial plans, that is one action that we're doing, and I'm saying that we want to empower councils to be able to do this effectively. And then actions to create a platform for consequence management, both politically and administratively. If you're saying at the first level of assurance, both politicians and the administration are responsible, then that level of those consequences must be able to touch on both sides to ensure that politicians are taking administration to task because they know that they are going to be taken to task as well. And actions to improve the government's reporting. Asset management, we highlight those because they are key. Asset management, record management, because the record management affects our disclaimers, supply chain management, and the various expenses. The IT controls, human resources practices, so this is talking to all those areas of competency levels and trying to get people to be more competent and to monitor how people are hired and whether we're hiring quality staff, etc. And they, also there are actions to improve the capacity of provinces. And this issue of capacity of provinces is starting to answer the question that says, but why? What's happening with these provinces that are lagging behind? Is it just the issue of skills at a municipal level, because those provinces can attract skills, but there's also a fundamental issue of an imbalance when it comes to the capacities of the treasuries and the costs of those provinces combined. So that combined effort that goes into municipalities from those provinces, it's not comparable to the other provinces. So there is a provincial capacity issue. So the capacity to support municipalities in the other provinces is also an issue that comes about. And also actions to improve oversight in terms of public accounts committees. I think as far as public accounts committees are concerned, we have spent the effort in terms of making sure that these are established throughout, but now the second layer that we're putting is now look at their effectiveness and their ability to provide this effective oversight. And that concludes our presentation, Chair. Hopefully we have answered some of the questions that have been raised.
Thank you very much for the presentation, Chief Director. My concern, anyone that wants to raise?
Chairperson, I think that our presentation has covered by and large most of the questions that were specifically directed to us. Of course, if members of the committee feel that there may be questions that are outlined, that we draw our memories and then we can fill those as well. And we'll be assisted by our colleagues from the chair. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. In terms of want to make a question, put a question. If you want to put a question, let us in terms of fair. In terms is the first one. You are not in terms.
I'm almost in.
No, in terms with other friends. It was in terms. Oh, okay.
Nothing to say. Thank you, Chair. I think they have, the department has answered some of the questions, but it's a matter of me emphasizing of the some of the issues. Like the issue of consultants ensuring that the transfer is good because they are, it's important for them to do this because some of the municipalities can't perform they end up relying on these consultants. They can't be independent. As earlier Honorable Mabulani did raise this issue of municipalities in some of the areas like that are more rural that can't attract these needed skills for them to perform up to their optimal standard. So it is really a problem. So what is the department will do in assisting these municipalities in those areas that because some of them do not, they are not also able to even raise their revenue so that they will be able to pay. And the issue of district municipalities, because in my view, they should be a hub of skills. So when these skills are needed, they will be able to assist municipalities that are having a challenge at a particular time. So with the issue of districts, because you'll find that some of the districts have a large contingency of personnel, and you'll find that the skills that are the people that the contingency that is there is not assisting in terms of the needed skills. So if maybe the district municipality can be looked at and be arranged in a manner that they will assist the local municipalities in terms of them achieving towards the green audit outcomes. And also the issue of supply chain, it's important for the department to look at it because you'll find that mostly the people that are there are the people that do not have what is a percent of the minimum of the skills. Sometimes it's like we only pull within the personnel that is there and say, you know, you'll go. You know, it hasn't been taken with that seriousness. The supply chain has not been taken with the seriousness. And another issue is the issue that as of now, coming from the 2011 elections, there are some municipalities that haven't appointed senior managers, and we are about to finish the term. We are closer to 2016, and if that like is not attended to, already it's late. So you see that other municipalities are suffering because they don't have people that should assist in ensuring that there is service delivery, there's good governance, there's financial health, and so forth. I think I'll pause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, the auditor, I don't know, can you see this thing of maybe I just want to apologize. Maybe my previous experience of the court standing makes me to be very adamant on something. Sometimes I know when you start the parliament in the third year, you are like being introduced to new things. But these things are old. The third point I want to raise is that the auditor general, I want to be specific, wants to require that one of the fundamental weaknesses of what makes this continuing practice of maladministration people not following the proper procedures because there are no consequences. And you put very strong that as long as people are not faced with consequences, you're still going to have this practice continuing. This practice has been continued in South Africa for the last 20 years. It is for this reason that we have lost more than 860 billion rand in corruption since 1994. This is not new. In my previous life, I used to chair, always attend the commission, government. All these things, the honorable member is tabling as actions to be done. I'm telling you, if you can go to another auditor's report of the previous budget settled, these things like the way they are,
themselves in tribulation, given the kind of action, I can read all the bullets of action. I must look to something. I've entered to local government, even when I was doing my best local government was local government one. The problem in the first is its supply chain and management. We know of this thing, man. The point is that these things are frustrating because we've all known this thing for the past 20 years. The issue, what immediate action, tangible action, we are going to take to make sure that South Africans, when they wake up in the next 2 months, that the tangible action taken in relation to this thing. Remember, the MSME was an intervention in the beginning to intervene with this area that was the intention of the MSME. Are we trying to declare that the MSME is not a functional instrument? Should we tighten the parliament? What is it that is terrible that you are proposing to us? The report is out in the Eastern Cape, right from the process I come from. Not where we know this thing is we know. What tangible action that we're going to put that in these municipalities that have declared disclaimer are going to see and think that these are solutions. Let me tell you, TG, these are not solutions. They're not going to help us solve this problem. If you think these are solutions, I'm telling you, come next year when you sit like this, the problem of this thing. What is it that the magic, is it one? We call it the magic one, or what?
I'm a student
from God that can like making one that you are going to use.
No,
okay. The practical action that you are going to do because to be honest with you, maybe we should be asking the first year that we have. If together we're going to work together to improve municipalities, this intervention and not even close to it. I want to suggest that we want to come with practical intervention. It might be an over-exaggeration. This issue that people, I am so passionate with the Nelson Mandela. The Nelson Mandela said, municipality used to be a good award-winning municipality in all these aspects that you're mentioning. But within a short period of time of 5 years, the Nelson Mandela have collapsed to be the worst performing municipality. Therefore, I'm very concerned about the intent to our people, to ordinary South Africans who want services. Where the democracy setting is collapsing, is collapsing in the main in local municipalities because we are unable to take action. Basically, I'm saying I'm dissatisfied with this intervention. We need more comprehensive details telling us that, okay, we're going to go to the Eastern Cape, we're going to do this there, and there, and there, and there, where there are problems. We're going to go to Northwest. Municipalities in Northwest, it's a fact, it's a thing. Collapse municipalities, collapsing every day. Municipalities in the Eastern Cape, it's really. But the people are waiting for you now to say, with the new minister president of Gordon, is there hope to say, we are going to intervene and speak?
Thank you.
I want to go back to the issue that has been debated for a long period of time. And my understanding was that this idea had been embraced and has become part of the work going forward. And this is the whole question, the whole notion of linking audit to service delivery. It's on a card, what's happening? And the idea go out of the window and disappeared. I don't want to know. It seems to be the kind of direction that we're taking. Yes, one deals with numbers and so on, but it was really a concerted effort to try and ensure that it is linked to the question service delivery.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, not for that.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Chair. I'm sure when the department responds, they must respond to my earlier question about the need to put targets in terms of gradually moving the municipality to the audits. Because we're not seeing targets. We're not seeing targets. Well, I wouldn't want to talk more about the Operation Clean Audit that was pronounced earlier on. But I'm saying, you see, looking from the trend of the Auditor General's report, you can be able to identify the areas that require intervention and an extent of the intervention that is required and how long is it going to take to improve the situation. That you can do scientifically, as opposed to speaking to the gallery about what you're going to do. And so scientifically, you can be able to track what needs to be done and put targets to achieve what needs to be done gradually in a very systemic way. That you can do, and I think the department must consider that. I think maybe at some point as a portfolio committee, we must pronounce ourselves on the further extension on the issue of a minimum competency. I don't think we should have the same slide that you find in the AG's report on slide number 31, that even says that there are certain CFOs and municipal managers who don't need the minimum competencies. I think sufficient proof has been given for the municipal managers and the CFO to meet the minimum competencies. I don't think there is a need for any further extension. If there's been an extension, I think we must speak we must speak against any more further extension of this compliance, because we should be able to have municipal managers and CFOs who are compliant in the head of supply chain management. And people who are not complying, the necessary processes must kick in so that they are taken out of the system. My third point, Chair, is with regard to the specifics. I think there is a slide in the Auditor General's report that talks to province and province. And I appreciate the fact that the department was given a very limited opportunity to make a presentation. I think there is still some areas which are lacking around how is the department going to follow up on the type of intervention as recommended by the Auditor General. Those slides are there, the provinces are there, the municipalities are there. So we need to be able to be told. It might not be the direct competence of the department, but the department is working in collaboration with provincial officer departments. We should gather through the MINMEC or whatever forum, must be able to determine this is what the intervention that we are going to do in the areas as recommended by the AG, this is what is going to happen, this is what, how long is it going to take. So I think we still need those specifics. If they are not here now, I think we must be furnished with those specifics so that we can be confident ourselves that what the AG is recommending, the department is going to do together with the other Department of Cooperative Governance in the province. I think that one we still need, Chair. Lastly, some of us who have worked in local government knows how onerous it is to comply with the plethora of legislation that is there in local government. For instance, when we started, we were given a pack. I don't know what you remember, Abraham. Lots and lots of legislation.
think you could count about 7 or 8 there, which regulate local and legislation and regulations, which regulate local government sector. And I think it's too much. We've agreed that we must embark on the process of trying to review that process. Okay. And the department is not speaking to that, and I would love them to speak to that, because those of our colleagues who are engaged in that space of local government will tell you how difficult it is to comply with all of these things. And I can assume that part of the reason why we're having the type of bad audit outcomes can be somehow ascribed to the fact that there's just too much things that needs to be complied with there at level, which is not existing at any other level. So maybe we must also speak to this issue of review. And I agree with the Honorable Masondo on the relationship between a clean audit and the level of service delivery in the municipality. Whether one is a clean audit, therefore that does not mean that that municipality is providing good quality services to the communities, which is a question which I think we can continuously engage with.
Thank you.
See, there are a lot of things taking place at local municipalities. And I think these municipalities will never be of any service to communities unless drastic steps have been taken by Department of Cooperative Governance and Institutional Affairs. The politicians at that level have basically taken over the function of placing municipal officials. To the extent that the regional structures of the ruling party, that is politicians, are actually debating as to who must get which post at the local level. The district municipality also is also having a hand in placing is actually debating the local municipalities as to who must get which post. And this divides them as members of the same party. And for reasons known to themselves, but on close scrutiny, one realizes for the 18 years that I've been at this municipality, and that's not the local municipality, my observation is that all these years, members of the same party are divided because each group wants its own person to take over the post. And the actual conversation there, the fact that they divide them is the issue of project in the municipality. One group actually says, Masepe must take this pool, that one will no, say so, because these are given this pool based on a particular mandate, as to say, these are the tenders, and this tender is for Banga, this one is for Matripe, this one is for Mapulani. Those are actually the stakes. They are actually appointed on those bases. I've seen it. And they fight throughout, because each group wants their own people to in charge. And so they get kickback under the table. So I think COCTA must actually remove the issue of, you see, the person who's under pressure at this level is the so-called, the poor human resource manager, because he's given specific instructions. I've been, for the 10 years that I've been there, I've been saying to them, please bring all the records and applications of all applicants to council, so that we can also see that the three that have been recommended to council are actually the ones that must get the post. The one person who's under pressure at that level is the human resource manager, because he's instructed that you take so-and-so. It's one group. The other group says you take so-and-so.
That's a point of order. I'm not very opposed to the member raising also the issues in this application to the district municipality. But it would be, I don't know if it would be a very good idea if we have specific details to write them down carefully and practice the attendance to record. The question of allegations and details and time and so on.
I think the Mahomet is misunderstood. You're making a reference to potential interference in which the auditor raises the issue of leadership. You're not necessarily saying that this situation we find ourselves in this municipality is that what contributes to lack of qualified people assume this, it's political intervention. That issue is very important. It must not be undermined.
You should
look at it.
The point is made. You are not his lawyer.
I'm a bit conscious.
He will invite you if he needs your assistance.
Well, the point is
that you say the point that you want to put out there. The point that was made. That's to separate administrative issues from political issues. That's the point that was emphasized. That you do that, because if you don't do that, then that's going to cause problems for policy very high. That political leadership must not impact administrative leadership what to do in terms of employment and other areas that you are fighting. I think that's the point that you are making here. Of course, you wanted to make some examples because it was his own experience. Where he was deployed the last 13 years. This would have been part of this, we don't know. But he knows it very well. I think the point was made for me to was actually. I thought that you were you want to make a point?
You are right here, and also we must refrain from naming political parties or making reference to political parties here. We are dealing with issues that need to be attended to by the department. And also, to name people who are not sitting in this chamber, it's unparliamentary to do so, to call names in a meeting of this nature. People must have to call it like
that.
Yeah.
You're
going to
I'm not naming people.
No, that's it. We understood the example that we made to. And they're absolutely fine. And of course, really, he has declared long time ago to fight against corruption. Well, we are fighting every corner as an ANC. Therefore, we never really tried to protect anyone on this level. And it's very important just to say that, otherwise some people can think that we're fighting against it. All the laws that are there, our tribes, we are pushing them because we are angry. Corruption,
I
think that is fine.
Thank you very much.
I'm concerned about turning around local government. Because we said that the only good is now going back to pay. We have to come back to us and tell us exactly how to go back to pay. And it's very critical about that we're raising. We're trying to turn around local government. It's in 5%, it's in $10. And then we clean all this. It seems like 5% has been, I think it's not there, but 9% clean all this. It's a step forward, really. Not a bad thing, but very slow. But it's a step forward. One else you want us to do, I'm not sure. And then the committee, of course, I think the committee also was cited in the list. I think cited in the report of Dr. General. That we are not playing our effective and efficient oversight function. And then the committee must be committing itself. We must be doing that much. Not only Nelson Mandela Bay, I know that you are passionate. But we want an employee that covers for our we are very passionate about Nelson Mandela Bay. We highly appreciate that. But of course, the community is dealing with South Africa. The whole of South Africa. Therefore, what is a general space that we can play our meaningful and robust oversight function and may also explain in terms of our optimization in local communities.
Mm.
I think the point we are taking is harder. All that I think you're a good student. The environment on there is going to stay very robust oversight function. After this meeting, we'll talk about it.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it's appropriate at this point that perhaps I should invite the Accountant General, if he should wish, to pose some of the questions, because this is a joint effort with us. And then we will sweep if there's anything to be swept. Thanks.
And good afternoon to members. I'll just have some of the questions which is more financial related, which we might be able to answer later, and then the DG can answer the rest. First, as far as the consultants are concerned, the transfer skills, it is very important to us as well. That's why we have said that we want to bring in a transversal contract. Now, it's important to read my comments in the right context. The consultants in this case are our friends. They assist us. Without them, many of these municipalities would not even be in a position to put any financial statements forward. So it's important that we must see it in that light, that they might assist us. However, we feel that in certain cases, these things are not well defined. For example, if a municipality does not have a CFO, and therefore they get consultants to assist them, there is nobody that can have oversight well and see whether they actually get value for money or not. Because the field person that should fulfill that duty is the one that's not there. And therefore, often what happens is that there's a misinterpretation in terms of the scope of what needs to be done. In order to general might come and say, this is an example, your assets are in a mess. The municipality says we must do something, so they contact somebody to drop asset register for them. And they submit that and they get paid. Next year the Auditor General comes and says, it's great, you've got an asset register, but there's no values. You know, so there was nobody that did the oversight on. That's why we say that as National Treasury, we think that we can play that role and help municipalities in that role. So we will have a transversal contract. What we are proposing is that there will be a retention here at the end. Part of that is to make sure that skills are transferred. But remember, you cannot transfer skills if there's nobody that to transfer the skill to. So first, we are saying municipality, you must ensure. You must ensure that there's somebody there. Otherwise, you can't hold the consultant liable for the transfer skill. But if there is somebody, then we will have a retention fee that we say to the municipality, to the consultants, you will get your money. You will get the full amount. But just show us that you have delivered on what you were supposed to do. As far as attracting skills are concerned, very important. And the member made a very valid point about maybe having some hubs that we can have. And we think in this instance, that together with COCTA we can work on a proposal where district municipalities might play a bigger role in terms of specifically on the financial side, but maybe on other skills as well. So that we cannot attract enough skills for all the municipalities, at least make sure that the district has somebody capable that can assist municipalities as far as that's concerned. The audit outcomes linked to service delivery, that is very important to us. We've been talking to about it for a while. I'm hesitant to speak about, you know, because we actually have a meeting late on today with our colleagues where we discuss these things. So I'm hesitant about speaking about these proposals before it's come to our political areas. But we are looking at something where audit outcomes cannot be only determined. You know, you have seen instances where audit outcomes is that you have a team audit and yet people are toying in the streets because there's no service delivery. So we're saying audit outcomes is probably the most important aspect, but it cannot be the only one. There must be other aspects that must be considered as well. So we have a project, we call it Ikusasa, Sikusela Ikusasa, which basically, I'm told, transfers to protecting our future along those lines. But we haven't formalized that. We're still working with our colleagues, and once we have got that plan in place, we will present it to the members and we can take it forward. The need for targets, it is important. It's not, I mean, obviously we are all aspiring to have unqualified audits.
what we are saying is, let's at least get the basics right. You know, if somebody moves from unqualified with no few fines to clean orders, that's fantastic, that's what we want. But it's more important to take first those municipalities that got adverse opinions, at least get them the basics, so that we know that we can rely on those financial statements. You know, that there's no major fraud or things going on. But we will set those targets and present them to the committee. The minimum competencies, we fully agree. The problem there is that you cannot write something by taking an action that's wrong. In the country, we have certain labor laws. So if somebody has been appointed legally in a position, you can't say tomorrow you're fired unless he has done something wrong. It can't be on the basis that you don't have a qualification. It must be on the basis that you do not perform your work. And therefore, there's a process that must be followed. Like in any organization, about incapacity, then you must go through the processes. And that sometimes takes years, unfortunately. But what we are doing is, our focus is on new appointments, making sure that before anybody new is appointed, there must be the minimum competency in place. And therefore, we are trying to get to a position where, you know, before the municipality, and remember, in terms of the Act, we cannot intervene and say you cannot appoint this person. It's not a responsibility. But we can advise. We can say, look, it doesn't look at you, this is the right person. Maybe you should look for somebody else. So that's where we're placing our focus at the moment.
Can I just find out, Accountant General, that if a person is in the position now, and that person doesn't meet the minimum competency requirement, particularly the relevant legislation, there's nothing that can be done to that person in terms of the contract of employment of that person, because I'm sure it would have stipulated that that person should meet those competencies. So that, as members of the committee, we must be very clear that there is nothing that can be done to those people who doesn't meet the minimum competence requirement, because they are protected or whatever, that is not very well defined. Because, you see, this is going to discourage even those who are trying to meet minimum competency requirement, because they themselves might as well leave, you know, the effort, because nothing can be done to those people. Are we saying that there's nothing that can be done legally to those who can't meet those requirements?
See, maybe if I can amplify that, what we are talking about is that, remember, legislation in terms of minimum competency is new. So there are certain municipal managers, CFOs, supply chain managers that had been appointed many years ago before the legislation came in. You cannot retroactively go back and dismiss somebody for new legislation. But of course, there is a way of doing that. It's based on performance. It doesn't matter what your qualification is. Even highly qualified people sometimes cannot perform the duty that they're supposed to do. So all of those people, that's where it comes in. It comes in performance. That's where the municipality must take the action and say, you are not doing what you're supposed to do, and therefore we are taking action. And that action might include disciplinary action normally that says that you are incompetent, and therefore we will work it out. But we are working, because remember, is right, it would be a toothless effort if we just say there's nothing we can do. So we are working on some principles to assist those departments. It's not just the stick, it's also the carrot to say where you are doing well, there must be recognition, you know, to show. And we have done empirical studies in National Treasury where we have looked at the qualification and the number of years that the CFO has been in the municipality and they have the audit outcomes. And it's clear, you can see, if people have the right qualification and they've been with that municipality for a while, then the audit outcomes are much better than the others. So the member is absolutely right that we must take stronger action against those people. But we must just be careful in how we take the action, that we don't correct one wrong by doing another wrong. You know. But we do take cognizance of what the member said, and we will take it under advice. Chair, I'll let the DG answer the rest of the questions.
Okay. I'm just
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to
certain records that the comments that have been made by, I don't remember, can be looked at with appreciation as matters that would need to be taken into account in dealing with issues of the district and focusing on issues of supply chain management. That we will certainly do, including matters relating to the feeling of vacancies at municipal level. The chairperson, perhaps in tying up with the question that honourable member Mbangwa was raising, there is a best-to-basis approach, the details of which we have not shared with the committee. We did, in our annual performance plan, highlight what that intends to achieve. We will come back to this committee with a detailed presentation on the best-to-basis, which will tie up on some of the issues that the honourable member is talking about. And I also say that there is a plan to have a local government summit in the course of this month. You will be receiving an invitation to it, Chairperson, where we will be in fact tabling the back-to-basis approach for the country to know. And in that plan, we will set up very clearly what it is we will be doing. We have already started gathering data from our municipalities, what is happening, what the challenges are. We have already started profiling them. As we speak, the minister is visiting municipalities in Mpumalanga today. We're verifying some of the information that is documented. We want to satisfy ourselves that whatever you design a strategy to intervene actually responds to the situation on the ground. That's part of what we're doing. And that will culminate in that site that we're talking about. It's not for me to announce the date yet, but just to mention to the committee here that that is in the offing fairly shortly. I'm going to ask my colleague Sukidi to end his bit and just deal with some of the questions that the Accountant General has not dealt with. The only one that I might want to talk about here is that there's generally been a complaint from municipalities about over-regulation. The what the honourable member refers to as a plethora of legislation, that is seen as a problem that makes municipalities not do as well as they should. But certainly, what lies behind every piece of regulation or legislation has been an intention to try and make sure that there aren't loopholes that can be easily exploited. Now, it does come across as contradictory. On the one hand, we say, let's make sure that there's full compliance, that we close all the gaps, but at the same time, we're saying, but you're over-regulating. We think you should cut down on your regulation. But the point that the honourable member concluded with by saying we need a review, it could be that over-regulating is not the best response. We need to certainly review this and make sure that we leave those things that are essential to enable municipalities to function effectively. What we recognize is the fact that there's a lot of reporting that municipalities must do, and the burden of reporting is actually detracting municipalities from focusing on what they have to do on a daily basis, rather than spending a lot of time reporting. And some of those reports actually emanate from some of the regulations that the honourable member was referring to. So, in essence, I'm agreeing with him by and large, but I'm saying the intent behind the various pieces of legislation and regulation was a noble one. But certainly we will take the view and look at what it is that needs to be revised to make life easier for municipalities. Honourable Member, thank you.
The DG has just stolen my thunder. I wanted to talk a little bit around the issue of back to basics and what we have already done and the actions that he has indicated that we will have to share with the committee either in the summit or before the summit, depending on which was going to come first.
My thunder. It would be very good to resolve the hardware for me. If I'm in the forms and the other court, I the committee of parliament, that it must be certified that
what you are calling retrofaith is something that all of us here can honor. And then we plan, of course, we all can continue society, a lot of us could put a idea that we do that. And then the ministry would encourage the officials and all this. That's why I'm the meeting. I think that's your representative. And then if you are sitting and speaking to them, possible Matanzara to come, whoever is available. Not necessarily the minister that being working. If they're available, we can agree on today. And that's where there's another discussion about this. And then because you didn't want to do a situation that turn around local government 5 years down the line you simply dumping because it doesn't work. And then again back to basic, the packet of services that you want to introduce, I think they should have let's have some discussion before then we go to a summit to have further discussion. And then if we can do that, it will be a good idea. That is my appeal. Continue.
I don't have much to say except one particular question that was asked earlier on, say how many ministers decide in the section 139. We have 12 that are confirmed and one that could get through in Limpopo. And the 12 that are confirmed are two in the Northwest, two in Malanga, and the balance is in KZN. The other one that is not yet confirmed is the Makana one and the Mpalakwena. So those are the municipalities that are in section 139. There's also a question by Honorable Mablane on the actions that should be province by province and focusing on respective municipalities. At this level, we might need to agree because we have provincial steering committees that are looking at each and every issue that has been raised by the Auditor General in the province for a specific municipality. And those actions that are developed at that level might not respond to each and every specific municipality, but they will be aggregated in terms of what are the major areas that have been raised in this particular province, and are the plans broadly in the province going to be responding to those particular matters. So those are the few things that I think I need to mention, and I agree with you, Chair, that the issue of the basics and also the other matters that the municipalities that we've already identified, which we shared with the BIDMEC last week, and they're going back to confirm some of them. We had plus minus 80-something municipalities that we thought we need to share with provinces, and therefore the actions that are going to be relevant to those particular municipalities. And I will leave it to perhaps that meeting that you have suggested for next week.
Well, colleagues, I think we should do that. I know that we have not been the colleagues. And if possible, teach the issue of basic service, which is back to basis, and the issue of municipalities that are city general. And they just try to identify all of them for us. And then we have a discussion on that. I know though that we have not really started as a committee ourselves with matters of traditional tradition as part of the overall work. I think sooner we must sit down also and have a discussion about the traditional leadership issue. Because there are many issues that are happening around this area. And of course, if we are invited for a summit, we will consider that and have a discussion. Yeah, I told the number there.
Yes, Chair, I just want to add something to what you just spoke.
Okay.
Chairperson, on the business, on the meetings of committees and on the agenda, it's suggested that the briefing today would include discussion on the recovery of debt owed to municipalities. And I'd like to ask that at the next committee meeting, if we focus, that we brought in as a topic of discussion next week. Because it's going to require a lot more, it'll focus our attention a little bit more as we look at some strategies around debt recovery for municipalities, we look at the amount of debt that's owed to municipalities and who it's owed by. I know that one of the major concerns is that it's government departments that owe debt to municipalities. So maybe we can have a look at that at the next meeting, Chairperson?
Yeah, no, we really should do that because
we wouldn't take it now because there are two, the houses.
Yeah.
And then we shouldn't do half job on this area, very important. And municipalities are complaining about this in everywhere. That even departments are not paying them. They alone are not paying them on time. And also, of course, the call that was made by President paid the suppliers within 30 days, it seems some 90 days. It is not 120 days, but it's just here that there are a lot of issues that our Counselor General and the DG must have been addressing seriously about the issues of local government. Because the centers of economic development is local government. The call that was raised also by Makulani. That the three metros were general, the economic country, Cape Town, Joburg and Durban. These three metros is light wide, you can see, they are the most easier. And they are very clear that we were. But in case that then you know that many of the municipalities anyway, they also under pressure in one day not. And they're not pretending that they are performing well in terms of the notice, but there are real problems there. And then I think we must address some of the things that the Director General as we meet next week. If we have to apply number 4, a longer meeting we should do so. Just like a longer meeting, not there to take members who read the statement in the house, that they can read the statement here. They can get the content here and we send it back to the chamber. And then I think we can do so. But I think we should apply for a longer meeting because the celebration on death. Debt owed to municipalities is going to be a very important presentation. A presentation about also the issue that you've raised, and the municipalities also a presentation about debt raising. I think we should have enough time really to discuss this issue. And then because we would want you to come and Paris one for 30 minutes and then we are not exhausting some of the issues that are critical for us. I think we should do that, and I think we should. But I think we agree. I know that we are very loyal alternate members who attend all the meetings. And then if it seems now a good week, it is a week. And this is the week. Colleagues, I think we have really exhausted, and I thank you very much, Accountant General, and Director General, and other colleagues. And then I think we should again our meeting today. And then we'll meet next week, 10. Yeah. And then we'll have a discussion then on some of the issues that we could today. Thank you very much for coming.